Hey, what's going on? Welcome to The Doug Show. My name's Doug Cunnington, and today we'll talk about a few things, including feedback about The Doug Show podcast, and get some positive feedback, which is good. Luckily, as far as I know, no negative feedback. And if you have negative feedback, I don't want to hear it. Or you can leave a review. Leave a review. I don't read those anyway. Next, I'll talk about a nice trip that I was recently on, and I was actually looking back at some of my previous episodes to try to remember if I actually already talked about this, and I don't know. I don't know if I did. Probably not. I'll talk about different things, and it only makes up a small portion of the show, and it'll be about Yellowstone National Park, which is just fun to talk about regardless. I will dive into a couple of the ideas that were sent in the email from Chris, listener Chris, and I actually need some feedback from you. Again, I need more pats on the back, but I actually need some of your input, fine listener, about content, basically episodes that I think I might talk about. And it'll all come into play. A lot of this is tied together. And finally, saying no. Maybe we'll start with that. We'll start with the last thing on my list because it was fresh on my mind. And in the last couple weeks, I've had to reject some requests for what seemed to be fine things to potentially spend my time on. One of them, it was a more personal rejection. It wasn't a personal rejection against the person, but I met someone at a retreat that I went to not too long ago, and we had a nice discussion. He said, I would like to chat with you after the retreat. I want to ask you about some stuff. And I was like, cool. We could catch up later. Sure. Shoot me an email. And he shot me an email and he was like, hey, I want to talk about, I think something called, I don't know what it was. You know what? I won't advertise it here. I don't know what the fuck it is exactly. But essentially, it was video emails. So I watched like a quick video and this person was like, hey, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about trying to get a podcast started for my company and whatever else we want to talk about. So that suspiciously looked exactly like a fucking consultation. And I was like, well, number one, I don't want to talk about those things. So this is the thing of like saying no. So some actually nice person that I had great conversations with, I would talk to this person. But the topics, because I was like, I don't want to meet without an agenda. So what do you want to talk about? Because I don't want to get blindsided talking about something that I don't want to talk about. And I knew that I was going to say no. So a couple areas. So he asked for two main things. He was like, I want to talk about this video email platform and I want to talk about starting a podcast. So mainly I didn't want to talk about the video email thing. And I want to say the headline or something like that was roughly the end of email, video emails or the answer, something like that. And then it was a short 90-second video or so where they gave use cases for sending video emails. Let's say I go to a conference, I meet some folks, I have a list of people that I want to reach back out to. I have their business card, so I would like fire all this shit up, record a video, and I'm like, hey, it was so good to meet you in Portland. I can't wait to hang out again. Let's talk about the possibilities and blah, blah, blah. Because that's supposed to be more interesting or more personal than reading an email. Ah, shit, I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe people like that. But what I wrote back to this person was, I don't want to talk about Talk Fusion. I was like, I'm a weirdo. I'm in marketing. I'm jaded. Basically, if I get an email where someone has recorded a video for me, I'm like, fuck that. I don't trust them immediately. I actually mark them as spam and block them. So it's that quick, right? I have so much inbound emails, and I'm sure anyone with a YouTube channel, a podcast, a blog, like you have a lot of inbound stuff. And most of it is trying to sell you something. So it was a little, it was a little bit tough for me to say no again, because this is a nice guy and I like him, but I don't want to talk about that because I don't really care about it. I already know if I get an email that has a video in it, I'm going to fucking delete it, and I don't trust the person, and I'm out. I'm completely out. The other thing with video versus text, it might take them 2 minutes to do their little pitch. Their little video, hell, we know video AI is really good. Their video may be fake also. So I don't necessarily trust the video either, which is kind of weird, but I don't really trust the video. But whatever point they're trying to make in their video, that might be 2 minutes, it's probably 3 bullet points. Take the time, write the 3 bullet points. Don't waste my time. I could read the 3 bullet points, and it's a secret, but I probably don't care about those 3 bullet points either. So if you're trying to sell me something, I don't want a video, and I just want the quick version of it. I still actually get pitches for being on the podcast that are like a page or two long. I'm not going to read that. I'm not going to read that. That is insane. Totally insane. So anyway, I told this person, no, I don't want to talk about this, about the podcast. Here's another deeper thing where I have this expertise in podcasting because I've spent a lot of time on it and have probably about 1,000 episodes of podcasts that I've recorded, which is a lot. So even if I was very bad at the beginning, I've improved over time. So the thing with helping people with podcasts is I've spent a lot of time chatting with people. They're like, hey, I think I want to start a show. Maybe you could tell me some stuff. And I would sit down for 1 to 2 hours with various people. If I had to guess, it's probably been like 20 people or so. So I would talk to them about podcasting, give them advice, things that I've learned, things that they should do, things that they should not do. And then they would proceed to not take my advice at all. They would come back actually asking for more help later on. And I would say, hey, did you do the thing that we talked about? They said, no. So I realized over time, people don't value my advice because they had no skin in the game. They were just like, I just kind of want to pick your brain, which I'm highly not interested in anyone picking my brain. If you're like, hey, I want to buy you a coffee, guess what? I could buy my own fucking coffee, right? So I don't want to discourage people from talking to me. At a retreat or a conference, like I'm going to FinCon pretty soon, like happy to talk shit in those environments or whatever. But like when it's my own time, when I could be working out, I could be walking the dog, I could be playing guitar, taking a nap, eating food, thinking about food, cooking food, looking up recipes, watching videos. I mean, there's like a million things that I could do that are better than talking about something where, you know, people are not going to follow my advice. So anyway, the thing is, I have recorded these kind of Q&A sessions, and I have a few episodes on my podcast channel. So when people now ask me, hey, I was thinking about podcasting, can you help me out? I say, maybe. Very confidently, I say, maybe. Here's a list. I made a playlist, and there's at least like 3 hours of content where someone is just asking me questions. So I had some very good friends of mine that came to the studio here in the basement, in the bunker, and they asked me a bunch of questions all about podcasting. I answer their questions. I give them additional advice. So it should generally be like a masterclass in podcasting where it's Q&A style. And between the few times that I've done that, there should be enough information out there for someone to pull it together. So I'm not like completely not helping someone. I'm just protecting my time. So maybe that was, I should have opened it with, I really protect my time now because it's very, it's not limited. I actually have a lot of time and I'm not busy. But the reason why I have a lot of time and I'm not busy is because I say no to stuff very happily, because it's okay if I don't want to do something. I don't have to do it out of social obligation. There's enough shit, you know, you got to do anyway through social obligation. The other one that I said no to, someone was like, hey, you're so awesome, Doug. I want you to be on a online summit. So online summit, if you're unfamiliar, this is where essentially they get a bunch of creators to talk about a specific area. They wanted me to talk about financial independence and retiring early and that sort of thing. I think this was a decently sized YouTube creator. Say they have like 50 or 100,000 subscribers, lots of views. Like my channel doesn't get a ton of views these days, but they get a lot of views. It's a growing channel and it looks like a great creator. I have no issue with her or anything like that. But the online summit format is, let's say she emails 50 people. She wants to get 20 speakers and she stacks up the speakers over the 2 days. So essentially it's like a conference where I have my talk. I talk for whatever, 40 minutes. We record it and then she's able to play it on demand during the online summit and people go through and watch it all at the same time, but they could also watch it later. The thing is typically an online summit, it's free for the live attendees. So if you show up and you're there, you get to watch all these stream live and there's a chat usually, you can interact and all that kind of stuff. But then typically if you want to watch the recorded version, because you couldn't make it live, maybe you have a job or you're on vacation or you have other stuff to do during the day and you can't watch it, then you can maybe pay, I'm just making it up, maybe you pay like $80 and you get the recorded version and it's like, 10 hours of content plus free material. Sometimes there's like a free little course or there's freebies from the people that are on the summit, that sort of thing. So typically it's a decent value overall. But from my perspective, someone, the organizer, is just trying to get free content from me and they will say, oh yeah, but you can sell the access in the recordings. So you could be an affiliate and you can get like 50% or 30% or whatever the percentage is. So at the end of the day, and they also tell you like, oh, there's great prestige. You'll be listed in this online summit and blah, blah, blah. And that could be all wonderful, depending on where you are. When I first started online, I participated in many online summits like this because, you could network. I maybe would be able to sell some of the recording access or something like that. Maybe the person has a course, whatever. There's some networking that you could do because if you're in the summit, then you could say, hey, I would love an intro to this other person that's in the summit. And then you should be able to work it out, right? You're both doing the summit. So there could be some value, and I'm not saying people shouldn't do it, but I've done it in the past. And overall, I don't really care about it. I don't want to do them anymore. So whenever I just made a rule for myself. If I get a request for an online summit, I say, thanks for thinking of me, but I'm not interested. Good luck, basically. Keep it brief. You don't have to give like a whole fucking explanation on why you don't want to do something. Like one of my friends, Mark Troutman, he didn't make this up, I don't think. I'm pretty sure he didn't. But no is a complete sentence. You can just say no. So you can say a little bit more. No, I'm not interested in participating. Thank you. That's it. You don't have to be a dick or anything like that, but you can say no and it's totally okay. Going way back, I was thinking about this as I was writing the notes for this show, this episode. In my very early days, I mean, this must have been like 2014, and I was still trying to figure everything out. I mean, I'm still trying to figure everything out. But back then, I remember, I had a full-time job. I was waking up early. I was over-caffeinating. I was working hard at work and working hard on the side hustle on, Niche Site Project. I was blogging there a lot. And then I was creating my own affiliate sites and all that. And I remember I was chatting with a buddy, a peer. We were in a mastermind group together and he was like, oh yeah, did you get the guest post roundup request from so-and-so? And I was like, yeah, I did. But you know what, man, I don't think I'm going to do it. I have so many of these requests and I just have other stuff to do. And he kind of laughed. He was like, come on, dude, you should do it. I mean, it only takes a few minutes. Maybe true. I mean, I think he was a faster writer than me, number one. But so maybe it just takes a few minutes, but there's so many of those inbound requests. And at the end of the day, it was like, oh, you get a backlink, you're listed on this guest post roundup kind of thing. And at the end of the day, I was like, I don't really give a shit that much. And it, you know, it took me a little while to get to that point. But now that I look a little bit, I'm looking inward now and I'm thinking about like, yeah, you know what? It is actually good to be able to say no. And maybe I crossed the line sometimes. And this recent one that I mentioned where I was like, ah, you know, it's a nice guy. He was asking, you know, he's trying to get his business started. But at the end of the day, I'm like, this looks like work to me. I don't want to do it. And if I say yes, and I'm not even getting paid, right? I'm like, dude, I can talk to you, but it's like, I mean, it's $450 an hour. Like I'm not going to do stuff for free because at the end of the day, as I mentioned before, bringing it all around and wrapping up this section, people don't really value free advice. So when I've given free advice, it's like, maybe they follow it, maybe they don't, but I put the same amount of time into it. If someone pays me what I asked and I give them advice and they don't do it, that's okay with me. You know, it doesn't bother me because I don't feel like the time's wasted because at least I was compensated. And saying no is okay. I got a lot of feedback over the last few weeks and I appreciate it. I actually did not think that I would get much feedback. So I appreciate it. Everyone that sent me an email, a lot of people did. I wrote back to everyone, unless I missed it. If so, not intentional. However, Chris, whom I'm going to mention here, he wrote me an email and it took me like 3.5 weeks to get back. So I'm not as speedy as I used to be getting back on emails. But the thing is, like, if there's no urgency, then I don't reply super fast, but my inbox has started to fill up a little bit more and I've actually gone through and like cleaned some stuff in the background. I'm going to read a lot to most of this email. I'll try to read it verbatim. So I always go back from like first person to third person to second person, really kind of screw all that up. I'm going to try to stick to it. And I did check with Chris about sharing some of the details in this email, even though it's fairly anonymous and it's not like I'm saying his last name or anything. And Chris is pretty common. So, hi, Doug. Just wanted to send you a quick message to let you know that I've been enjoying the new episodes you've been putting out on The Doug Show. I think you made a call for feedback on a recent episode. So I wanted to let you know that I appreciate the episodes and get a ton of value from them. And this is Doug jumping in. So I'm going to break my own rule immediately. I would love more feedback if people are enjoying the sort of shift in the content. Let me know. I've been enjoying it more and I'll come back to that in a little bit. Back to the email. I've been a listener of the Mile High Fi podcast from the beginning and started listening to the Doug Show around that time. I think you have a refreshing and unique voice in the Fi and online self-employment space. I enjoy the no BS approach and think your content comes off as very genuine. I relate to your story a lot. Like you, I was an unhappy corporate engineer who ultimately found freedom through self-employment doing something I loved online. Now I'm getting fairly bored of that work after 5 years of doing it. But thankfully, since I'm basically FI, that's financially independent, I could focus on just the parts that I enjoy or provide a high ROI, and I don't need to do the parts that I used to do just to make money. Like you, I've whittled my business down to just the essentials, probably just doing 10 hours of work per week on average to cover expenses plus save a little bit. It's honestly a weird place to be in, but I'm grateful to be there now after 10 years of following advice from folks like yourself. Anyways, I wanted to say thanks for the work you do. Hardly anyone talks about what it's like after they are FI, when they are self-employed, slash willingly scaling down or shutting down their business. So I find it relatable where I am in life. And this is the final part here. Also, I really appreciate how outspoken you are about being lazy and not wanting to work. My wife and I are the same way and feel it's such a rare mindset to have. I don't get all these people who keep doing serious work I don't get all these people who keep doing serious work even when they have all the money they need. I have way too many hobbies, personal interests, and other things I care about to ever take a real job again. Best wishes, Chris. Great email. And I love the context that he was able to provide. I think it's awesome. I relate to what he said. I mean, he said he related to my story, tons of parallels, especially, you know, doing this kind of work for like 10 years or so and carving out, you know, whatever he wanted it to be. But really after about 5 years, kind of get bored doing the same exact thing, even if you're leveling up and maybe adding some different stuff. But over time, I have added new things and got rid of other stuff that I don't want to do. And I hope this ties in a little bit to me talking about like saying no. And I'm like, yeah, dude wants to talk to me, who's a nice guy, but it's stuff I don't want to talk about. And it's suspiciously close to the consulting and work that I used to do. So I don't think I'm going to do it. Because essentially it was like, hey, do you want to do some work for free? I'm like, I don't even want to do work if I'm getting paid, which is a little bit unusual. So I'm curious, are more people in the audience actually listeners of both Mile High Fi and The Doug Show? A few of y'all have been coming out of the woodwork. I didn't realize there was much of an overlap. I would have guessed, a couple people, but it turns out I've heard from a handful. So that means there's probably like a few dozen of you out there, which is pretty interesting. I mean, it's a weird crossover audience in my head, but it turns out maybe it's not that weird. When I go, some of the early times that I went to a conference called FinCon, used to be like the Financial Bloggers Conference, but it's a pretty big conference. I've been going the last 5 years or so, and people recognize me from my SEO and the Doug Show and the YouTube world. So that was interesting because I thought they were quite separate, but the people worked online, so there's some overlap and all of that kind of thing. So I will come back to some of this topic area as it relates to FI and self-employment and that sort of thing. I was off at Yellowstone National Park for a few days, and I think I mentioned it in a previous episode, but I think I just said that I was going to go and that when the episode came out, I would be just getting back or something like that. So the trip was awesome. My dad and I went. It was just a father-son trip. So my dad and I went, and we've been to the park many times, each of us. So we've seen all the main sites and areas. You could always spend more time there in different, zones of the park. It's a very large park. So, you know, if you get to one entrance, it may take you several hours to get to, you know, a different location in the park. So one thing we were able to do is stay in the old lodges and two main ones. So the Lake Hotel, number one, and then the other was Old Faithful Inn. And that's the huge log cabin. And we were in the original hotel part, which was pretty neat. And then we also stayed in the Canyon Lodge area, which is actually not one of the old lodges. It's a new lodge that was built in 2016. And I think they've renovated / added things in the last couple of years. So it's super nice over there and might be one of my new favorite areas to stay. There's a lot of cool stuff right around there. And where we were staying, you could just walk on a path less than a mile and get to the canyon overlooks and all that kind of stuff. So that was super cool. Great trip. one of the wonderful things in a park like Yellowstone or other very remote parks is you don't get a cell phone signal in most areas, at least not with my carrier, which is great because, like, you don't need to be constantly connected all the time. Many of the lodges had like an area that you could go to, like a specific lobby, and then they had Wi-Fi access. I'm sure it was quite like low bandwidth because there are hundreds of people trying to get in there and trying to check their email or whatever. So basically, you could check your email, you could do some basic things like that, but generally, you're not going to probably be watching like Netflix or YouTube videos or whatever. You will just do what you need to do. But I was thrilled to not have access, and I need to do it more regularly. I've heard people, you know, at least one day a week, they leave their phone at home or whatever, turn on like airplane mode or something like that. But I feel like it could be a good thing to do more often, or good portions of the day, or, you know, once a quarter, like basically be offline for a little while. And the thing is, I'm not even on social media so much. And I think that's like the biggest issue is social media, because that'll suck you in and keep you sort of distracted. And, Georgie's coming up and poking me. Hey, what's going on?
You're all right.
Yes. Georgie's like, who are you talking to? Who are you even talking to? And she's off camera, so it just looks strange, but I'm sure you heard her collar jingle around. Yeah. So anyway, I need to unplug a little bit more. And I think I've mentioned, you know, my main thing is watching YouTube videos, and I mean, it's usually positive stuff, right? So I'm watching like guitar things, cooking things, other kinds of content like that. I'm not really watching sort of negative content that gets me riled up or anything like that. And on that note, I would encourage everyone out there, like if you find yourself on some platform where it's getting you riled up and angry or anything like that, or just negative and you're like comparing yourself to other people, just block those channels. There's so many channels where I'm like, you know what? I just don't want to hear from this person. They may have like good content, but I just don't like their approach and they seem like jerks. So I go ahead and block them and I don't watch their shit anymore. And it's totally fine. I don't even know that it's out there. So I'll hear some discussions sometimes and I'm like, yeah, I didn't even know it came out because I blocked their stuff because I don't really care. There's so much content, so it's not like you're going to miss out on anything. And I will see what Georgie wants. I think she wants me to carry her upstairs, so I'll be right back here. I've relocated to sitting on the floor in Georgie's bed. I decided to just move the camera and change things up. So if you're just listening, then you can't see this, but I'm sitting on her bed and I'm petting her. So we just have one more topic to cover, but I figured since I started to talk about Georgie, she may as well get on video a little bit. So, all right, final topic. I recently did an episode with Lauren Hunter. Fun episode, good to catch up with folks and hear what they're up to. I think the most recent episode was with Dave Fox. So if you have been on the show before, shoot me an email. If you have some stories to tell, maybe we could do an update. Turns out a lot of people have watched those episodes in the past and they kind of want to know what's going on. When I was chatting with Lauren, it was like the pre-interview, and I think I mentioned something about like what I spend my time on and the work that I do and that sort of thing. And basically, to the point that Chris made, I was like, I'm not doing that much work. Like I've quit a ton of stuff. I'm not doing that much work these days. And I reminded Lauren I didn't know if she knew or not, but I was like, you know, I do that financial independence, retire early stuff. My wife just retired. I'm doing much less work and it's fantastic. I really enjoy it. But I also realize this Doug show essentially was like working on side hustles and online business, entrepreneurship, other stuff like that. So I thought, well, I do realize that it's unrelatable for a lot of people if I come out and I say, I'm not doing really that much work out here. And it's fantastic because I know when I was working, I was busting my ass. I was doing a lot of work. And I know a lot of people out there are working really hard. I know maybe they don't have the same opportunities that I have. Maybe they have other challenges in their family. Maybe they have an older parent or someone that needs a little more attention and help. And there's challenges out there. I get it. So I'm like, you know what? I don't want to be a jerk and totally unself-aware and just talk about how awesome it is to be retired and that sort of thing. That's for the other show. That's Mile High Fi. So I'm able to do that. But Lauren reminded me that a lot of people, you know, they get into online business because they want to earn some money on the side so that they can save a little bit more or maybe be able to work for themselves and hopefully save enough so that they don't have to work and basically get to where I am now. And I thought it was a good point. Again, I have a whole other podcast where I do talk about financial independence and I try to point people over in that direction as much as possible. However, it does make sense to, you know, acknowledge the fact that a lot of people work online and they try to earn more money so that they don't have to work. So I think if you're interested out there, let me know the questions that you have around financial independence and maybe going from the mindset of working really hard and fuck, I would wake up at 4 a.m. and do a couple hours of work on my websites or whatever it was that I was working on. And then I would walk the dog and work out. And then I would start my 9-to-5 job for those years where there was an overlap. So I was drinking way too much caffeine and working too hard and not getting enough rest, but I carved out the time somewhere and made it work. So now I'm a little more tired and I don't work as much. And I think it fits really well for where I am, you know, right now. So all that to say, if you're interested in those topics, let me know. Number one, shoot me an email. And if you have specific questions, let me know about that too. And actually just one that comes to mind is, you know, I think when I was younger, when I had that full head of hair in my 20s, this is a lie. I did not have a full head of hair in my 20s. But basically, I think when I had my full-time job, if I would have heard, you know, myself talking, you know, 45-year-old Doug, where I'm like, you know what? It's great just to not do too much and have a leisurely day. And it's really amazing. I think my 25-year-old self would have been like, you know what? I want to manage these big projects. And like, I think it's cool. Like, and I want to be productive and I want to, you know, have a team working for me and all that kind of stuff. I'm pretty sure I would have thought that. And part of it, you know, when you work at a consulting company, they sort of indoctrinate you. Is that the right word? Indoctrinate to a certain way of thinking. And that way of thinking gets you pumped up to climb the corporate ladder generally. But over time, I not only got over that, but I was like, this is such bullshit. Find movies like Office Space and maybe Fight Club got in my head, made me think about things a little bit differently. There was a time where I would have thought that. So because I can look back and think that I would have thought that back in the day, even though I've changed so much now, I can imagine there are some people that maybe you have a chip on your shoulder and you're like, you know what? I want to prove it to myself and other people that I could do whatever. And that's totally valid. I mean, I'm not here to judge anyone, but for me, over some time, I was like, you know what? Was this even a good thing to spend time on at all? Like, who cares if I'm productive or if I have a team working for me or whatever kind of stuff? I mean, like, is that rewarding to me? Am I at least being paid a good wage for that? Like, I don't know. A lot of questions around it. So let me know what you think. Let me know what you think of financial independence and all that kind of stuff. You know, I'm not going to do the whole, the whole podcast on it, but I think there's some topics that we can cover that could be very interesting. Finally, I put this in my emails in the last couple weeks, but it's worth it to mention it here. And I can explain just a little bit, although we're getting a little bit long in this episode, so I'll be quick. If you are looking for some backlinks and promotion, if you have an SEO agency, or maybe you just have a few clients, or maybe yourself, you have a website or two that you could use some links. Essentially, it'll break down to getting some links on a couple domains that I have, one actually being the Doug Show. So it would be a sort of type of sponsorship for the show / get a backlink on the Doug Show website. And one interesting thing with podcasts is the podcast goes on a bunch of directories. So essentially, whatever links I put in the show notes, those propagate out all over the internet. So if you get a link on the Doug Show, then you actually get links to, or you get links from many other big websites. The caveat, and if you're an SEO and you know about this stuff, then this is no surprise, but essentially, you know, let's say iHeartRadio or iHeart.com, wherever the podcasts live out there, you will get a do follow link. But as you can imagine, there's many tens, hundreds of thousands of podcasts that publish, and there's a lot of links going from iHeart. So it's a do follow link from a fantastic, it's probably like a DR90 plus domain. It's a do follow link. But there are many, many other podcasts that have many, many other links. So there is some diminishing returns from that aspect. But if you are looking for some pretty solid links, you can shoot me an email, feedback@doug.show, and let me know if you are interested. I can send you some of the details and that sort of thing. Starting at, we'll call it $300 a month. So looking for ways to cover some costs, and you know, we got domains, I have hosting, there's software, I have an accountant to do my taxes. Like, putting out a show and being a creator is relatively inexpensive depending on, you know, what you have to do. I already have all the equipment, right? I got lights all around me, I got a camera, so it's not too much like to keep it going. But there's admin stuff, and we often forget about that. And when software comes around and you have to pay for another year of it, it's like, oh man, that's a few $100. And that happens a few times a year. And then again, taxes and other admin. So that was one idea that I had probably a couple of years ago and didn't really do much with it. And then I was like, oh, you know what? This could be something to revisit. feedback@doug.show. Let me know if you might be interested and I can send you details. That's it for today. And thanks everyone for the kind words via email and for encouraging me to play more music too. So I haven't recorded it for this episode. I'm gonna do it. It's not going to be fresh every episode, but I'm gonna work on some stuff. All right. All right. Thanks a lot. I'm gonna take care of Jordy. Take her upstairs. She's like, come on, Dad. You gonna do something with me here?